if we allow our hearts and minds to take us where those lyrics want to take us, they're pretty amazing and are a blessing. Thank you, Holly. I'm glad you're back. Nice, safe, and sound. She and her family went. Y'all went to Disneyland, didn't you? Legoland. What? What? Legoland. Oh, Legoland. there's so many puns there, but I'm not going there. So, if you have three of their standard blocks, which have eight little knobs on them, how many different ways, configurations can you form out of those? Is it three or six? Maybe it's six with eight knobs. Take a wild guess. Y'all ready? Over 3 million different ways. Yes. You're not from Missouri. I'll get you back. Yeah. So, long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, I was in my first pastoral appointment after seminary. By the way, I'm preaching from Matthew 13, 24 through 30. I was in my first pastoral appointment. Two of my church members, brothers, Steve and Hoyt, Stevens, Billy and Hoyt Stevens, just amazing guys. They had their degrees from Texas Tech in engineering, one mechanical, the other, I've forgotten what his engineering degree specialty was, but they shared a farming business, and they had farm land scattered all over the South Plains of Texas and the Panhandle. You do that in that territory so that you don't get all wiped out by one hailstorm. You know, when one storm takes out one field, you still have others. At any rate, the previous spring had been especially windy, and the summer had been especially wet. And so when fall came along, we had all sorts of tumbleweed spread out across the cotton fields, loose tumbleweed, old dried up tumbleweed, some of them just really huge. And, you know, those plant stems and tumbleweed seed have just a terrible effect on the quality of your harvest when you're trying to strip your cotton and take it in. And so, as it happened, I needed the money, and they needed the help. And so for a couple of days, on one particular field, I spent both days out in front of the stripper getting tumbleweed and picking it up and carrying it out of the way of the stripper so as they passed through, they wouldn't get all that mixed into the cotton. It was not easy work. You know, you have to step over. It's not a good thing to step on the cotton plant. I mean, that kind of ruins that one. So I had to step over row after row of the cotton plant and pick up those weeds and carry them out of the way. And this was 1988. I got $100 a day. And I had to give them a hard time. I said, "You realize you're paying me more for this than you do for preaching." I won't tell you what they said. You know, this particular story that Jesus tells, this parable about the weeds, is related to that one we looked at last week about the parable of the sower and those four different types of soil. And so it's not surprising, of course, that weeds are not good for your crop. And Jesus uses this to explain something to his followers. He says that you've got to be watchful. And to appreciate the full extent of this, we look back to Matthew 4:17. Because that's where Jesus gives us the theme for all of his teaching. He tells us there, he declares, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." The kingdom of heaven is near. So what is the kingdom of heaven? And what does it mean that it's near? Well, entire books have been written on this, so let me just give you the abbreviated cliff notes about the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes it's been mistaken to be the same thing as the kingdom of God, but they're really not the same thing. Let me just say very quickly and simply that the kingdom of heaven is a way of talking about the nearness of God, that God has come. He is near, Jesus says. That's talking about his imminence, his presence being near. Remember in Isaiah, we're told that one of his names will be Emmanuel, God with us. He is near. Do you have that sense about God, that he is near you, that he's with you? Do you have you experienced this, that you can, if you're tuned in, you can hear his prompting, his warning, his voice? Jesus in his coming brings the very revelation of God to us. He fully discloses God in a way that no one or nothing ever has before. It's in his person. It's in his miracle working. It's in his voice as he preaches and teaches. God is near to those people. And Jesus calls all the people, and he calls you and calls me to repent, to turn from our willful lives to a surrendered life to him, to a life yielded to him, to his way. And so here he says, this tells this story about the parable of the weeds. So let's quickly look at the elements in the story and what they represent. The sower. The sower is the Son of Man, that is Jesus. And in his ministry, he is sowing the seed into the field. His ministry brings about these people whose lives are changed, are transformed. They suddenly see life very differently. The field is the world. The whole world is Christ's field, and he sows out into this field kingdom life. And the good seed are the people of the kingdom. They have responded. They have received the grace of God, and their lives are transformed, and they're producing this great crop. It's amazing. It's wonderful. Oh, the harvest that is promised by it. But there's a problem. There's weeds in this field. And they're all interwoven in with the good crop. The weeds are the people, Jesus tells us, of the evil one. And of course, the enemy is Satan himself. He's the one who's come and sown the bad seed, the seed of that brings the weeds. Now think about it. By this time, the crowds have grown larger, and Jesus has to get out, you know, on the boat and face the shore in order for people to hear him. And they've come from all over to hear him, to see, if possible, or maybe even to experience healing of their own. And then he teaches this amazing, simple teaching that is so, can be so life-changing. It's like fresh air. Suddenly, one not only breathes better, but, you know, in fresh air, you can see more clearly and further. You've all, I'm sure, have experienced at times looking down the river valley and looking at Shiprock on a beautifully crisp, clear day, and it just stands out. And then there's times when the wind has blown or is blowing, and you can barely tell it's there. But in that clear air, isn't it amazing? And that's the way it is in seeing the kingdom. You begin to see it so clearly. Those who are responding have this new kingdom life growing in them. The life that Jesus has promised is starting to grow in them. But then this question arises, well, where did these weeds come from? I mean, in the parable, the workers go to the owner of the field and they say, you didn't do this, did you? And he says, of course not. The enemy has done this. So what are we to do with them? I mean, don't you want us to pull them out, yank them out now, and get rid of all this stuff? They don't belong to the crop. We need to get rid of it. What's our temptation? How do we respond? Becky has to watch me. There are times that she says, don't do that. And what she's referring to is, I have this compulsion that as we walk from the car into a restaurant or walk from the car into a store, if I find a weed, what do you think I want to do? Nobody asked for commentary. Weeds are useless. And when I see weeds, well, you know, just a short reminder, there was a time that Becky and I both worked together in a landscape and construction company. So we have this thing about weeds, I especially. And it just shows a lack of attention, right? So I want to do something about it. I really think I should get a discount. It just may be obsessive compulsive, I don't know. But these workers come to the owner and they say, look, we've got all these weeds. We need to get rid of them. But the problem is the type of weed that Jesus is referring to here is especially insidious. It is the bearded darnel. Now, bearded darnel, in its early stages, looks just like the wheat. And you think, wow, we got a really great crop. Look how thick it's growing. Until the heads come out. And then you see the difference. And when the heads come out, that's when you say, okay, we got to get rid of it. Well, it's too late by then, because you see, by then the roots of the darnel is really bad about weaving its roots around the roots of the wheat. So when you begin to pull it out, guess what you pull out with it? Wheat. Not good. We have to get rid of it. And so you have to wait. And something else that's really bad about the darnel, and what the reason why at the harvest, they're all, Jesus says, it's then that the owner tells them, we'll pull the darnel and separate the darnel from the wheat. Because you see, darnel, even just a little bit consumed, is toxic. It's noxious. Ain't good. And so, what has Jesus been experiencing? You have these folk who've been hearing his kingdom message, and yet still they go so far as to refuse to believe. They refute what Jesus has said, and some of them have even rebuked him. Well, these folk are not people of the kingdom. They're not people of good seed. They are people who are holding on to the past. Friends, when we think about this parable and we think about today and where we are in this moment, we can look around and wonder what in the world is happening to the larger church. On the larger scale, we've been seeing for some time the demise of the mainline denominations. They are in decline, extreme decline. Some of them will disappear within our lifetime. The great majority, the reason for their decline is that they decided that it would be best for them to reflect the culture rather than to be good seed and reflect the kingdom, to reflect more of the life that Jesus talked about, a life that required repentance, a life that called one to lay down my stuff and be open to what God would give me through Christ. But they have capitulated. Well, and it's not just them. There are many of the what we sometimes refer to as the non-denoms, that is the non-denominational, where we see there's a lack of accountability among pastors. They have grown these congregations, and they've come very large, and for many of them, they have no one that they're accountable to. And unfortunately, sometimes their ego gets out in front of them, and it weeds of their nature grow, and we have things happen where lives are harmed. And in local churches, we are sometimes beset by the issue of those who behave in ways that are counter to the kingdom and in ways that are detrimental to the church. How unfortunate it is that in this culture, in this time, we've gotten used to the idea that we're the authority, and we don't listen to leadership or to pastors or to the Word of God that calls us to get rid of the weed in our life and calls us to follow Christ. Now, we could be like what my temptation is as I walk across parking lots. We could just yank them out, right? Well, because they don't belong, at least not in that form, not in those behaviors, but there's really two dangers when we do that. And Jesus tells us about those dangers. First of all, like I talked about just moments ago with the darnel, its roots become entangled with the roots of the wheat, and if you try to remove it, you not only pull out the darnel, you pull out part of your crop, and therefore there goes some of your harvest. Or second, the time has not yet been fulfilled. And we're not talking about darnel any longer, we're talking about people. And sometimes people will eventually turn. They will come to the Lord. They will repent. And they turn to the truth before the harvest time comes. So I would lift up a caution this morning. I could continue to teach about the weeds that are other than us. After all, we are the kingdom people, right? But instead of identifying the weeds out there, let's take a moment to consider what weeds we may have allowed to rise up in our hearts and take root. What have we allowed in our spirit and life that steals away nutrient and has a damaging effect on what our lives will produce? Could it be an attitude? Could it be a habit? Could it be a lack of discipline? Can it be a lack of love? And I don't mean the kind of love that is that sentimental variety that is just sicky sweet. But I'm talking about the love that calls for one to hold another to accountability so that they may better align their life with the kingdom of God. One that calls for my being aligned with the kingdom of God. You can look across the field and you can know a farmer's temperament. I love that. It's okay. We like that sound. I feel the same way. You know, you can tell a good farmer because when you drive by their field, the furrows are all equidistant. They're straight where they need to be straight. They're clean. You don't see any plants in the furrows. And there's not weeds in the crop. The fence, if there's a fence, it's in good order. You can tell that a farmer has taken pride, that in a good way, he has taken care of. He's a steward, a good steward of what he's been given, and it shows. He's been keen to watch out for that weed trying to grow up in his field. And he's taken measures to get rid of it. When you see one, the weed that is, he reaches in the back of his pickup and he pulls out his grubbing hoe. He didn't have to go find it somewhere. It's with him. And he takes that hoe and he ruthlessly gets rid of the weeds. Well, friends, we need to ruthlessly get rid of the weeds in our lives, in our hearts. Those weeds that steal away from that good seed that Jesus would have grow in us, that would build a life that is like his, that would reflect his character. Now I know that God's good seed has fallen in many of your hearts. I see the evidence of it. I see the crop coming forth. And I pray that you come to full fruition so that at the harvest time, there is this multiplication of the crop, that its yield is great. Even 100-fold. The weeds amongst us, let's remove them. And let's grow in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your holy word. And I pray that your promise will come with it today, that it does not return void, but that it does produce and with fullness, in full measure, that which you've intended. We pray that you would enable us today to see clearly, help us to reflect on our lives and to identify that which needs to be removed and take measure to do it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.